After the closing jingle this week, we have a cool interview with Gabby Barrett talking all about the baby stuff and the music and all that. Again, it's right after the closing jingle.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week.
But they don't get to say everything that's on their mind,
so they have an extra one. That's how we get the podcast, the podcast.
Podcast from here in the beautiful O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people and awesome people, because no kidding, the other day I had to go and get a can of gas for my daughter's car because she ran out of gas, and I run in, dude, it is right like there, it's closing time. It might have been a minute after. And the guy was walking to the door to close the lock, you know, and shut it. And I'm like, hey. He goes, come on in. I was like, yes. Yes. Most places would have been like, oh, sorry, we're closed. We just closed a minute ago.
You went to O'Reilly, you said?
Yeah. And they opened it back up so we could go back in. Okay. I mean, we were after time. And it was like, we kept them like 10 minutes longer because I had to get some stuff. And but it was still very cool.
Good. So you stayed around a little longer so that he couldn't leave when they're closed. So you kept there to get air fresheners. Maybe you got one of those.
It was a multi-tool.
Air pressure.
It was a multi-tool. We did get an actual. Okay. Anyway, so let's just go on. But thank you, O'Reilly guy, for staying open for us.
Yeah, he loves you now.
No,
he does not. Also, if you run out of gas, go to the gas station.
They didn't have the cans. We went to like three gas stations. Yes.
I've noticed that. They don't have. Last time I needed a gas can, they didn't have.
Gas stations now are basically little small shops. That's all it is. It's to go and get food and drinks.
Get your big
and
cup.
Somebody's
big
vapes. That's all it is. Yeah. And vapes, lottery tickets, food, and drinks. That's all it is. There's a tiny little thing. There's like couple little quarts of oil and some air fresheners.
When Ernest ran out of gas, we went to the gas station over here, and all they had was that little
tiny one.
Half gallon, teeny tiny thing.
I bought one, so it was awesome. So thank you over there. Also, if you love music, something completely different than O'Reilly is the Pickle Jar app. Pickle Jar app is cool because you can tip an artist, you can tip a band, you can, if you're doing a fundraiser for school and all that kind of stuff, you can do all that stuff through Pickle Jar. It's like, it does everything. Plus, you do giveaways, there's all kind of flyaways and VIP passes and you name it. It's cool. It's worth your while to check it out. Download the app for your iPhone, for your Droid. Picklejar.com if you want to go and get more info. It's awesome.
My dad was, I took him to Bucky's. And
his first ever trip.
And he.
He didn't really. What?
I saw the picture. He was like, it looked like a child at Wonka Land or whatever.
Yeah, I think a little bit of that is when he had that eyelid surgery. So his eyes are always kind of open, a little excited.
You almost got me. I'd taken a sip of coffee.
You just remember what's happening here.
So did you eat lunch first, or did you just wait and go to Bucky's and just eat?
Ate at Bucky's.
Yeah. No?
It was okay.
Usually I find the food at Bucky's.
It was, everyone goes, oh, the brisket's so great.
What's great at Bucky's. Go in the morning, get breakfast food at Bucky's. Dude, they got like 9 kinds of breakfast burritos and tacos. They're all different. They're all delicious. They got the little hash browns with the cheese in them that are just the best. They got all kind of little breakfasty things.
I was good.
They do that better than anybody.
It was fine. But Dad's problem was he's holding his pulled pork sandwich. And says, what's wrong? Where do you sit? I don't know. I think we have to leave. So he went to this girl. He goes, excuse me. Yeah. Where are the chairs and tables? We don't have those. Because I guess it's kind of meant to like have people move out, keep people, get them
turnover,
out.
High turnover.
He's like,
well, yeah, it's a gas station. I mean, in the end, Bucky's is just a really big gas station.
Yeah, it's not. It's not. I think he's right. They should have some kind of a something
Because you had, if you did, it would changed. Always be full anyway. Because it'd be no matter how many you had, they'd be occupied. So it's just going to take up space that you could have for more stuff to sell. People,
for those who got bikinis to sell, they got all kinds of stuff.
Oh, some dumb stuff.
I love Bucky's labeled stuff, though. I do.
I'm kind of over it. Seems really? It's everywhere. Yeah.
So a lot of people think Bucky's was an original idea. I really believe that they went to Japan and they stopped at a gas station there because Bucky's is exactly like a Japanese gas station with
more
pumps.
Wasn't it just a gas station? It was the truck stop. It's thing the truck off stop, there, a little right, interstate. But, yeah. That's what was.
Japanese truck stops are literally malls. You pull in and you don't just go to pee or whatever. You go in to hang, and the food is unbelievable. When I tell you the best sushi I've ever, and I eat a lot of sushi, and I have for decades. The best sushi I've ever had in my life
was in Japan.
I know, crazy.
Wait,
but
what?
At a truck stop. When I say truck stop sushi was the best ever, but people just look at me like crazy.
If you lived in Japan, you'd be you went to the truck stop.
We got some pretty good
sushi
food,
all over though.
That first time we stopped, remember you and I bought a bunch of stuff just to try it.
I didn't like
it. And like some of it was good, some of it was
weird.
Of course it was. It was
like
Japan.
And you think it's one thing and it's not.
Yeah.
You're like, this could be hot.
Gonna be
it's cold.
Chicken, and it's cold, and it's actually fish.
And it squirts.
Yeah. I bought the little candy that you make and turns into like a hamburger, and I had the one that you can make into a pizza and all that. It was basically candy, but you assemble
it's a toy
it.
Toy candy.
Yeah, it's toy candy. You play with your food. It's awesome.
Yeah, man.
I still love that ramen restaurant we went to.
The ramen again, place. Very different than a ramen restaurant here in the States. In the States, you go, and it's the same thing. You sit down. They have somebody who comes to your table and whatever. Over there, you go to a vending machine and you punch buttons on the vending machine and it prints out a ticket once you've paid, because you pay at the vending machine, and then you go hand the ticket to the chef.
And then the waitress brings you your food. And you say, konnichiwa, unless you're Bubba, and you say, Guantanamo, which is still maybe my favorite story from that entire
trip. Was he
trip.
Drunk? Is that when he asked the guy who was the ninja?
He wasn't even drunk yet.
Man.
He got drunk later that night.
Oh, yeah.
That was
dude.
In Yokosuka. And Bubba went up to this dude in a bar and goes, hey.
Well, he was dressed.
You're a ninja, right?
Well, he was dressed like an anime character.
he was dressed like
a full-on anime character. Yeah. So I'm like, he's got to be like a cosplay guy. And
Bubba
so
went up to a guy in Japan, a Japanese guy, and asked him if he was a ninja. That may be the most Bubba thing that's ever happened in all
the
20-something years
I've
known.
Dude, he was dressed like he had a hood and the little balaclava and all that stuff.
What'd he say? Okinawa? What'd he say?
No.
He said Guantanamo.
Guantanamo.
That's not even a Japanese word. It's not.
Yeah, you're right.
It's like if someone is in America and you said, here you go, and they tried to say thank you, and they went, Kansas City. They don't like that's the same thing. You know, it's just strange.
I do dumb stuff sometimes.
I
am the worst about mixing languages up. Like in France, I tried to speak Spanish to them all the time. When I'm in Mexico, I constantly, do the French words. I'm like, why do I do this? And my brain just does it.
Bubba has foreign language dyslexia.
I do.
Okay, I want to see if I can get Dee to tell a story on the podcast I'm pretty sure has never been told before. But I saw this thing online. People are talking about Liz Truss is out as the prime minister after only 44 days.
What happened with all that?
I don't know, and I don't care. But it started this whole thing about what's the shortest span you've ever had a job. And people are talking about how they had a job for an hour or 2 hours or 3 days or whatever. And it's pretty good stories, but it made me think of how Big D had a job that he lost before he got there.
What?
After when y'all made the road trip from Montana to St. Louis? Have you ever told that story? Can you tell that story?
Well, I can't.
It's been 25 years, so I feel like maybe it's...
All right, so it was me and this other guy. We were doing mornings in Billings, Montana. We worked with a terrible, terrible company.
That was the abusive boss? The threatening guy?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we were looking for another job.
Right, like you do. In radio, you're always looking for another job until we got here.
And so we found another job. There's this country startup that's going to be in St. Louis. And so we just packed up and we...
Never
and
quit. You just...
We didn't quit. We were going on vacation. So on Friday morning, we finished the show, and then we had to do some kind of a thing like Friday night for the zoo at a concert. And so I'm on stage going, okay, see you later. Have fun at the show. And they're thinking that. And me, I'm going, you're never going to see me again. I'm going to a major market. Mm-hmm. And the U-Hauls were parked down like two blocks away from the venue.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Got in there, took
off.
So
you guys packed up your apartments.
A whole thing. Packed up the entire house, apartment, whatever, and drove to St. Louis. And
from Billings, Montana, I imagine that's
it's a haul.
That's all day, right?
It's a U-Haul.
Yeah.
And get there, and by Tuesday or so, mm-hmm. maybe, somebody at the radio station is calling us going, hey, man, I think they know that you guys left. Because we told like one guy.
Yeah.
I'm like, how do they know? Wow. They had tapped our phones in the office, and they knew the entire time. For the entire time. They knew
the
entire
listening?
Time.
They were listening?
They tapped your phones in the office?
Yep. So they knew.
And this is before cell phones, so you guys are doing all this stuff on the office
on
phone.
On the office
instead
phone.
Instead of on your...
And so they... Their lawyer called the lawyer in St. Louis and said that they were going to sue them because they were... What's the clause of, like,
poaching?
Tampering? Yeah, it's like tampering with the
contract. Did you
contract
even have a contract?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, you were like 20, so
I don't
you didn't
remember.
Know.
Yeah. I was like, yeah. And the station came in, they reversed and said, we're not going to hire you guys.
So you drove all the way there. Did you even unpack your U-Hauls full of stuff?
No. No, it's still packed. Still packed. And...
So
they said, the guy goes, yeah, we're not going to do this.
The new guy.
We're not going to do this. We're standing in, I think it's his living room. Somebody's living room. It's all very,
Yeah.
And I had said, you know, we packed up everything. Paid for all this stuff. We've got expenses for moving and, you know, that kind of stuff. I wasn't making any money. I mean, that was a lot of money for me.
Yeah.
And I said, if you're going to, back out of this deal, then, you know, you guys need to pay us for the expenses we've already incurred.
Yeah, reimburse us for all this
whatever.
Stuff.
And it was like out of a movie. This guy opens up an old school briefcase.
Oh my gosh.
Opens it up and there's just cash, like he just robbed a bank. Just cash, all wrapped. And he handed us whatever the money was.
That was
much.
Their petty cash, was literally
I don't
cash.
Know. I don't know. Just I don't know why they house. Had it. In a, yeah. I don't know. I never got why that was the way.
Embezzling.
So then go back to Billings. Very, very depressing drive.
Didn't they find out you were gone because they sent someone to your apartment to look in the window?
They looked in the window and it's empty.
And it's empty. And that's how they knew you were really
that's
gone.
That's how they really knew.
Wow.
Oh, gosh. That's
to confirm
so
it.
I mean, also the fact that they were tapping your phones.
I mean, just crazy.
Yeah.
To stop you from getting the job. By the way, you're not going across town. You're not going to compete with them. So they could have just like.
And we were losing.
And you were, yeah.
Getting crushed by the breakfast flakes. it's one of the worst moments of my personal
breakfast
professional getting beat by two yo-yos called breakfast flakes.
That's how people feel when they're getting beat by us.
Big D and Bubba. I don't blame them.
Can't believe we're losing to Big D and Bubba. Oh.
Anyway, so I drove back and get back. I didn't even unpack. Didn't even unpack the U-Haul.
You thought they were going to fire you on spot? Or
that was it? Like, well, oh, yeah. I'm not going to keep this. I mean, you know, but what am I doing? So it's all up in the air. Well, we're on vacation. Mm-hmm. So we're supposed to be back that Monday morning. Come back Monday morning doing a show, which sounds like someone just said, you know, it's like after the Queen died.
Yeah. Well, yeah, how are you guys supposed to get motivated
like
to do a job?
Doing a show on 9/11.
And they just screwed you out of a great, you know.
Yeah, major market deal. Huge,
huge
deal.
Career
Go
boost.
Going from Billings to St. Louis?
Yeah.
It would have been like the jump of the week, as they used to do in R&R.
Yeah. Oh, the leap of the week.
Leap of the week. So, we're sitting in the studio. It's still dark out.
Had you seen the old boss or any of those guys since you guys left, or you just went straight to work?
No, just went straight to work.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Just went straight to work.
This is why I wanted this story, just for me. I haven't heard this in probably 10 years.
Just went straight to work.
This. Yeah.
Yeah. And so in our heads, we're like, yeah, we packed up our homes, went to St. Louis for a week, and came back.
And came back.
With our homes.
With all our stuff.
That was a very fun vacation.
And the guy who was, it was two brothers who ran the local market there. And the guy who was kind of the operations guy was a former Marine drill sergeant. I'm telling you, this guy was big and ugly. His neck was like this big. He was enormous. I want to say he was maybe 7 or 8 feet tall. And weighed 1,000 pounds. This guy was enormous.
He was just a rhinoceros.
And he was just...
He walked in.
Overbearing.
Did he walk in the middle of the show?
He's just overbearing. Mm-hmm. He walks in the show. The door was behind us. Like, the console's like facing this way. The door is behind us down the hall. And I'm on the side. And I see him. And he stands up. And he goes, "Boys, welcome back. How was your vacation?" And I was just like, this dude.
Mm-hmm. After he knows he just screwed you so bad.
Oh, God.
"How was your vacation?
Did you boys do anything fun? Did you have a good time? I want to hear all about it." And he's just quiet. No one's saying anything. He goes,
"Oh, wow."
And walks off. Own you.
And walks off. Yeah.
It just sounds like an abusive relationship, like somebody who's, you know.
Yeah. Well,
you're trapped.
I can't get into how we got out of it.
How much time between that?
That and then we got out a week.
A week? You were there one more week?
A week. And that's when, like, was already calling to our bud Scott. Rob, mm-hmm. about any openings. He's like, "Yeah, there's this new country station in Baton Rouge." And so sent all the stuff down, demos, that kind of stuff. Had a job within a week.
Think how much that, as much as those people were bastards, think how much that affected all three of us.
Yeah, so then...
Like, all of our lives would be completely different if you take that job in St. Louis.
Right.
He did take the job in St. Louis.
Thank you.
I mean,
I would have taken that job.
If you got to freaking keep the job.
Hadn't been for those meddling kids. so then moved to Baton Rouge. Mm-hmm. And that guy ended up getting fired. Mm-hmm. Bubba's doing afternoons. He and I got together, mm-hmm. started the show.
It was terrible because they were meddling with it. Again, management trying to tell us how to be us. And
part of the problem was that, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but is that the guy knew him.
Yeah.
The programmer knew him.
He was at my very first radio job. Yeah. Like, when I was 14, he was there.
So you don't respect so much, you know, it's
tell me about it.
The prophet's not a prophet at his own hometown or whatever.
I respect you.
No, I don't mean y'all. I mean the old company we worked for.
Oh.
They still treated me like I was 19 years old.
Yeah, so when you come in with a different perspective that they see, then that's the way they treat you. And so, yeah, they would, like, they told Bubba, "Don't talk." And I was like, "What? What are you talking about?
What are you doing?
And we left the dumb meeting, and he's like mad. Of course, I'm like, "Dude, we're not doing that. What are you talking about?" He's like, "It's fine. Don't worry about it." He kind of shuts down.
Yeah,
it's fine. Don't worry about it. And we get in the show
I had
the next
24
morning.
Hours to stew on it.
Oh my God! Mm. And I was like, "Dude, we're not doing it. It's fine. Do whatever we're doing." Get in the studio the next morning. First breaks at 5:10 or whatever. I go, "Did you send me blah, 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 blah?"
And Bubba didn't say anything.
Oh, his mic's off. He runs the board. He has the mic off. And then I asked to try it again. Mm-hmm. He just kind of...
At that point, after that meeting, I had had time to think about it. I was gone. I'm like, okay,
I don't blame you.
I'm going to get out of here because these people are dumbasses.
No respect. No respect. No idea of how to do what we do. No understanding of art, the art of it. Mm-hmm. No understanding of chemistry. And it takes time. Right. And they all want it lightning in a bottle. We're going up against, Kenny and Bob?
No.
Who were we competing
with? Originally, yes. Originally, yes.
Yeah, you were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, against WYNK. And so we're going against them, and they've been number one forever.
10 years at least, yeah.
This is god-awful. That was a terrible show. Just terrible. Just old radio, just yucky.
Well, because they'd never had competition.
No competition.
Ever.
And so here we are, young guys coming in. 20-year-old guys coming in, doing all this stuff. In your face kind of stuff. Well, we weren't at the time. And then I go to Jennifer for traffic. Get out of the thing. And, dude, I remember it was a yellow sharp yellow highlighter pen. It was because I was highlighting AP copy.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about.
And from that printer with the
things on the side.
On the side.
Dot matrix. Yeah, that's right.
Dot matrix printer.
And I took it, and the back of the board's like where you are. Mm-hmm. And I took that pen, I put the cap on. And I kind of did like a little
D-Rex
throw.
D never gets mad.
Yeah.
I mean, rarely, very, very rarely.
Threw a little thing out there and it bling. I said, dang it, Bubba.
Because he also doesn't cuss.
Yeah. Dang it, Bubba. We're going to do this. We're going to do it our way. Forget those guys. We're going to, you know.
And I was still, and he's like, do you want to or not? And I'm like, of course I do. That was the whole reason I even said yes in the first place.
But it took him 2 weeks to say yes. He didn't say yes the first time.
To doing the
Neither
show together.
Did I, by the way. I think that's the story of your life is the people you're supposed to be with. Like, I feel like you asked Kathy to marry you, and she went, can I think about it? Let me, you know, come back 2 weeks later. I wouldn't be surprised.
Huh, so well, that's thing. Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Let me
Tuesday, good for you? Okay.
Yeah, okay.
So...
I still remember Bob Murphy telling me that you wanted to talk to me about this job and me going, no, I'm good. I don't want to do that.
Well, at that point, you still wanted to be a rock star.
Yeah,
you were like looking for a band and you were looking.
And I was working at the Top 40 station. And I was 19 years old. I took this job. I was 20. But it was like right after my 20th birthday. You're 19 years old, man. I didn't want to work in country music. I wanted to be,
Yeah. And, when we got into it, we're glad you did, obviously. But it's... When we started doing, we won, we beat those Kenny and Bob, and then they're dead. Are both of them died now?
I don't know if Kenny is still around.
One of them went to jail because he was messing around with an underage person. Yeah. And
that was Kenny. Bob was my friend. Bob was a really good dude.
His wife was an ass.
I couldn't stand any of those people.
His wife. Well, remember, his wife would. We would be at events and she'd be like, what are you doing here? And all that kind of.
We're just the punky kids. And we were. And kind of still are. Punky.
When you think about it. Y'all were like.
We're 22, 3 years old.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean, and then they want to start to do this like weird syndication with us, this multi market thing that the company
nobody had ever done.
No, well, yeah, they were doing it, but they weren't doing it right.
Right.
No.
We went to Arkansas to go see, watch these. Y'all just do it. And Bubba was like, Bob was so good at that kind of stuff, like the understanding that part, the technical. And he was like, dude, this can be done way better. And I just was like, yeah, I can. and so we went back, and he was just like, hey, do this, that, and that, but it's going to be great. Mm-hmm. And then we signed Amarillo as the first affiliate, and then we went to another one. I can't remember.
I can do this. It was Amarillo, and then Fort Smith, and then Tyler, Texas was our fourth market. We're still on in
two of them.
Tyler, Texas.
Three of them. We're on to all of them.
Are we on in Amarillo?
Yeah.
Yes, of KGNC. Course. Yeah, of course we are. I'm not the same station, though. No, we're on the station that we used to compete against.
We were on KMML.
Yeah.
And KGNC was the station across town, and now we're on that station. And, in fact, that's the case in all of those markets, including Baton Rouge. Our first four markets, we're still on in all those markets on a different radio station.
Yep. That's right.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah,
that is
crazy.
Cool.
But yeah, we started and it was like country syndication was like unheard of. Like, you can't do that.
100%.
It's never going to happen. And we kicked that door in.
19-year-old kid sitting in the operations manager's office. And when he told me, he goes, well, but you don't understand. We're going to syndicate that show. And 19 years old, 2-3 years in radio, I looked at him and said, you can't syndicate a morning show in country music?
Yep.
And you certainly can't do it out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And I, because you know what? That was true. It sounds like it. What a crazy thing to say.
It was a different.
But it was.
It's different. Scenes.
People had tried. People had failed. Jerry House had just tried to do a syndicated show, and it didn't work.
It didn't work.
He didn't like it. They eventually, you know, just scrapped it.
Just wasn't. People weren't into it. And now it's more of a global audience, a national, a global audience, with all the social medias and news and that kind of stuff. And the local part is getting lost. Everyone goes, "Oh, you got to be live and local to win." No, you've got to be good.
I do believe that you should be interactive. You know, like we do the show, somebody can call us, and we're all talking about the same topic. Yeah. And there's that there is something to it.
That falls under. Are you telling me for live?
Yeah. Okay. I think live is more important than local. I don't mean to say local's not important on some level, but I think
it is when you need it.
The thing is, you get local. Oh well, they're local, and you listen to them, and they're going, they're talking about something.
Kanye West said this.
Some kind of national story.
It's Kane Brown's birthday today. Like, it's the same stuff everybody's doing.
The thing is that local stuff isn't really good. Like, what's
sometimes,
going on? Dude, in Nashville, sometimes. Nashville's a big city, and there's all kinds of stuff going on. But not really. Not really. There's a new stadium going on. We're going to make a dome out of it. Okay, talk about that. Okay, yeah, then that's over.
Then what?
Yeah. Then what?
You talk about the same stuff everybody else cares about.
Exactly.
You know?
That's the thing. It's not being local. It's being connected and being relatable. What's everyone talking about? Put your own spin on it. Put your own spin on a thing that everyone else is talking about. Be different. Just do your art. Do better.
And that isn't just radio. That's everything you do. I had a great conversation with someone yesterday talking about just basic stuff. I said, look, it doesn't take a lot of effort because so many people are lazy. So many people are doing just enough to get by that if you go out and do a little extra, you are going to dominate whatever field you're in, whatever you're in. And this goes from work even to relationships. People do the bare minimum to get by. If you show a little extra effort, you're going to be the Super Bowl winner. I mean, it's crazy how lazy people are, and it doesn't take much to excel anymore. And that's sad. But if you do put the work in, nothing can stop you.
Hey, I'm going to take that over on that Alabama-Mississippi State game. I see it's 61.
Yeah.
Bama is going to come back and beat Mississippi State like they stole something. Mm-hmm. It's going to be so ugly. So 61 is the over, and defense, Alabama's defense is kind of – so I'm going to go – I think Mississippi State will put – they'll put at least 14 up.
What time is that game? Is it 6 o'clock game? 6 p.m.?
Okay. Yep.
Well, text me tomorrow. We'll get all that lined up. I have to go.
I literally
because
just told you.
You have your meeting.
I have to go. We have a meeting.
Patrick. Garrett and I have a marketing meeting we have to go to. So.
All right. What? Well, marketing and radio? Nowadays?
Insane.
What?
No. But that's the first thing to go when your budgets get tight.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, this has been. I did not expect to get through all that.
That was very fun.
I almost brought it up on the air today, and I was like, "No, that's a better story for the podcast."
I enjoy it, man. I've been listening to a thing on ONA, Opie and Anthony, and their whole how they got together, and I didn't know that. I didn't know that Anthony was doing construction.
Caller. Yeah, he was a caller. Yeah, no, I heard them
no,
tell
no,
the story.
He wasn't a caller. He and his brother did these little dumb parody songs. And so Opie was doing a night show in Jersey, and they did during the O.J. Simpson trial. Well, that was a big thing. And they did this song. He and his brother did this song, and they brought it to Opie to play, and it was such a huge hit. And the guys were in the studio, and then Opie was like, "Hey, Anthony, you wanna come back in maybe next tomorrow night?" Came back in, turned into three nights a week, and then finally they just said.
And he was working for free at that point, just being a feature.
He just coming in, just hanging out. And just riffing. This got along so well together, and he's really quick and witty and stuff like that. And then one day, Opie goes, "Hey, listen, I've been sending tapes of what we've been doing at night to radio stations, and there's a station in New York that wants to hire us." And he was like, "What?
What?
Yeah. Like, I can get paid for this? I can stop doing construction?"
That's what he wanted.
So yeah, and if you don't know anything about them, they're not together anymore. But because you know they got to where they hated each other. I hate saying that, but it's true. They had a really big falling out. But they were the only show, as far as radio shows, that I enjoyed personally listening to.
Me too.
And I had a conversation with Jim Brewer, comedian, just a week ago. And I was like, dude, I fell in love with your comedy whenever you were on ONA. He's like, man, they blew my world up. He said, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have the career I have now. And I'm like, even bigger than Saturday Night Live? And he's like, yes. He's like, Opie and Anthony
back
was,
in the day in New York,
bigger for me than huge. Saturday Night Live.
Rogan said that they were the original podcasters. Because that's what they did. They did radio.
They didn't play
completely.
Any music at all.
Yeah, you're right. They started, and they're playing clips of it. They're like, okay, we've decided that we're better than the music, so we're going to stop playing music. And so they just did.
Dude.
And they would come in, and the boss would like hotline, and they would put him on the air. And like no one was doing that kind of stuff.
No.
I mean, you think Stern being kind of shocked, that kind of stuff? And they did all that kind of stuff, Naked Women and all that.
Oh, yeah, they did all that.
They did all this stuff, too.
But then they got away from that. And that's when they actually got way better.
Yeah, they got better.
When they became their own thing.
And then they brought Jim Norton in.
Yeah. And they always had, like, Bill Burr. I mean, that's how I first discovered Bill Burr as a comedian, I think, was through them. And I was like,
O'Neill on Patrice, yep. Best.
It's so good. It was so good. And then when they went to XM and they would do the walk across. They would, so they were on the air on whatever the station is there in New York. I can't remember now. And they would do mornings, and then they would walk across the street to the XM building, and they would do it live. And so you would hear them going down the – so they had a handoff, and then they would go to XM.
So you would hear – I don't remember the walk across.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, I wish they would have stayed together. I really do. And one of my favorite things is when they would do Jocktober. And Jocktober was funny because they would just literally make fun of radio people. And to me, there's nothing funnier than having someone say the things that need to be said about people in our industry that nobody has the guts to say.
Man, I wish they would do Jocktober just once, just now, just on a couple of people that need it. Done to them.
No.
And I would let them do it to us just because it would be worth
it. Dude, it would be worth it. Actually, they did.
I'd say
one
right now,
time.
First start off with.
Well.
Tell me something made of wood.
Wood. Pencil. They did. Remember, they did briefly. They kind of did a little thing on us.
Yeah, but not really. They didn't say anything about
it. Oh, it wasn't on us.
They didn't
It was the station.
It was the station.
And the guy was like, well, the morning show's all right, but man, here's the afternoon. And they whipped the afternoon guy.
Yeah.
As I should have.
Anyway.
All right. Well, that was fun.
Love those guys. All right. Have a good one. Don't forget, if you are listening on a podcast app, we do have the Gabby Barrett interview directly after this little outro here.
Goodbye.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay.
You probably said, thank God.
Listen to the regular show.
Let's go do the walk across.
On the radio.
Dang it, Bubba.
Every day. It was the podcast.
Bye.
Gabby Barrett's on the hotline. What's up, Gabby?
On the hotline. What's up?
You on the hotline because we got that hotline bling. What?
Sorry about that. I'm not sure what Bubba did there. It's fun.
I went Drake on you.
Oh, I had no idea. we're not going to spend a whole lot of time with you because you are headed up. Before you finish up these interviews, you're going to go and be on baby duty. When's the baby due?
Like in 2 weeks.
That's crazy. And don't you have like a one-year-old at home?
Almost two-year-old, yes.
Oh, my goodness. I said that weird?
Oh, my God, it is.
Oh, my goodness.
Talk to us about what your feelings got me doing it. Now, talk to us about what you're feeling. Is this a point where you're like, okay, I hate my husband. I can't breathe. I'm having to go to the bathroom all the time.
I hate my husband. What?
Yeah, you know.
No. No. Oh, my gosh. I definitely feel the mood swings of pregnancy for sure, though. Especially at the end because everything's shifting all over again. But, no, I mean, my first pregnancy compared to the second, this one has been completely different in the best way. First one was really tough. Just with health wise, and this one's been all on the clear the whole time. So very thankful for that.
Is it weird when you look down, you can see your belly moving, like when the baby kicks?
It's weird, like when it's in the shape of a foot or a hand. That's where I'm like, whoa, look how cool that is.
Yep, you can feel the difference between like their butt moving because it's a much bigger lump or compared to like a small kind of like a foot or like an elbow or a hand or something. And it is very, very cool. And this pregnancy, something that's awesome, which I haven't told anybody before, is I can actually see him practice breathing in my stomach. So sometimes I'll look down and I could see my stomach going up and down, up and down really slowly. Aww. Because he's breathing. It's very cool. Hmm.
Gabby Barrett is joining us, and this baby is going to be, it's a little boy. Have you figured out a name, or are you waiting?
We have a middle name, not a first. First has been really hard, so we're going to wait to see what he looks like.
What are some of the options? What are you guys like debating between?
Well, I can't tell you the options.
No, you totally can.
Spoil the surprise.
Okay, what's the middle name?
Two of the options. You know, Big D and Bubba or possibly Elvis.
Yes.
You know,
did you say you're going to wait to see what his face looks like before you name him?
Yeah, we're going to see if what he looks like, see if that helps, you know. You know, some people look at you and are like,
no.
Yeah, you so look like your name, or you could see, I could see you as a different name.
Okay. So you're going to, is that what you did with the first baby, with Bayla?
No. No, we didn't have to do that with her. We just knew her name, and it just clicked.
Okay.
This one, it doesn't.
So when the baby is born, the baby boy is born, are you, okay, just walk me through this thing. You guys are going to hold the baby up, look at it. Both of you and Kate are going to look at the baby and go,
looks like a sumo wrestler. Hi, welcome to the world, Daishimaru.
Daishiramu.
Daishimaru, it's a very
tall sumo. No, it's not going to be a Lion King moment. But, you know, just look at their face. See if they have hair. Do they not have hair? Does she look like my daughter? Or does he look like my daughter or look completely different? It just, all of the details, they matter.
I think we just, from the clues, have deducted one of the names is Harry.
Yeah, Harry's going to be a possibility.
If he has hair, he's Harry.
Harry.
You know, that's
could
one.
Or wrinkly. Uh-huh. It could be another wrinkly.
That could be Harry Bubba.
Or just red. Here's red.
Here's red. Old Lil red. Pink, what up? And then he's got a rapper name built in.
Lil Pink. Squinty face. Gabby.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm
we're excited. Yeah. Is this the last? Are we like the last people you're going to talk to until like well after the baby's born?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. She's like going to a cave.
I mean, like, I would be like, man, I'm done. I'm not talking about this baby anymore until after, you know, he's in the world.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, listen, when we hang up, make sure they close that storm cellar door on you. And then we'll see you when this baby's done. And can't wait till the name. We're excited. Now I'm following along with you.
Daishimaru.
Gabby Barrett, everyone. Gabby, all the best. We're praying for you guys. Can't wait to see the little baby.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
Take care. Congrats. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.